This is the Age Real Footy Podcast. Coming up, another big round of finals shaping results. Big injuries and big moments. We unpack them all. We talk travelling Tigers, upset Hawks, Buddy's milestone, battling Pies, and an exciting round 18 clash that awaits. All that and much more.
Back against the grain to Hughes. It's working back. That's worked back to perfection.
And now McKernan can get on the end of it from just inside 50. End-to-end stuff from Essendon.
Shinned it back. Rioli high, bending, and they've got something from absolutely nothing.
Off the hands of Alea.
Hello and welcome. My name is Michael Gleeson, and joining us this week, back from Magnetic Island, Jake Nile and Caroline Wilson, our regular European correspondent. Welcome to you both. Welcome back to Melbourne and the drudgery of winter from your summery sojourns.
Yeah, thanks, Gleese.
Not bitter and angry about
no,
it.
No. It's nice that in the you can stay in the same country and still be in the tropics.
Apart from the lamentable blues on Friday night, it was just a magnificent round of football, and I wouldn't have wanted to be anywhere else but Australia.
Magnificent, unless you're following my tipping, which is just lamentable.
I think a few would have struggled horrendous. Over the weekend.
Yeah, no, I think I got three, which is dismal.
But likewise. I mean, it was that's what we love. We love upsets, and I mean, we're going to talk about a lot of things today. But I love it when a rogue team comes into contention late in the year, not to make the eight, but to shape the eight. And that could be Brisbane now. They can do anything over the next few weeks now they've got some momentum.
And so Adelaide. It's going to be interesting. And Adelaide. I mean, yep. I don't think Adelaide gets there.
And Essendon.
Yeah, Essendon as well. They're good teams that are just going to miss out.
If you look at the form ladder, Brisbane Lions' last four games would be top of that ladder.
Yeah, they've been
fantastic. That's remarkable.
And had they won a few of those close ones, had they beaten Collingwood, who they take on again, I mean, you just wonder what might have been. But I think no more rebuild talk at Brisbane.
But their results...
They're back now, and they will be expected to do things next year.
Their results are now starting to reflect what their performance had been. So I know that sounds weird, but the points against what they'd been conceding and what they'd been doing to score had not been as accurately reflected in their wins and losses as it's now been. Earlier, like from 2 years ago, those sorts of results were off the charts. They were abysmal. But they've tracked back, and they're now starting to get the return on those sorts of performances.
Now, it was bittersweet at the MCG yesterday for West Coast, but people are calling it their best win on the MCG since they won the premiership.
They haven't had too many.
That was an unbelievable performance against
Fantastic.
Collingwood.
Yeah, and look, they... It's such an interesting result in the sense that they showed they could win on the ground. The ground didn't seem to cause them any problems at all.
Well, I actually think it helped them.
But can they win? The question changes from can they win on the MCG? The answer is yes. Can they win without Nick Natanui? Can they win the premiership without him? That is a big question.
And he's never really, I mean, he's been disappointing on occasion at the MCG, Nick Nat. But I wonder, Jake, because you're right. I mean, what he can do, and it looks like they will get, well, they've every chance to get a home final. You just see him kicking the winning goal, don't you, in a preliminary final?
Not now.
Yeah, jumping over the top of the opposition ruckman in a final or in the grand final, conceivably. I mean, when he played in the grand final in 2015, I gather he wasn't completely right in that game. It'd just be a fascinating player to see what he could do in September. They won't have that. Can their midfield exert the sort of influence that it needs to in those end of season games?
It felt like they actually played. They came with a plan on how to play the ground, and they played it really well. Rather than being sort of swallowed up by the width of the ground, they used the width of the ground, and they played really cleverly against Collingwood, who likes a faster game, and they played keepings off and kept it away. And when you've got one down on the bench with Natanui off, you think that that's going to tire them and the rotations, that's going to weary them. No, because they'd played this smart game of possession, they'd preserved their energy. They'd held onto the ball, and they'd played at a good tempo. I think that they played a really smart game.
So then, Jake, Collingwood without Adam Treloar, another key injury.
Yep.
I guess it was exposed to a degree yesterday because side bottom was tagged. Pendlebury was good, but not a match winner, obviously. Yep. Who's the name of the tagger at West Coast?
Hutchings on side bottom. Yeah,
he's been a fantastic.
Yeah. He's a very good player. He's a classic on the eastern seaboard, not recognised player. He's almost an A grader.
And he's beaten some really tough opponents in the last month. And Adam Simpson was coached brilliantly yesterday, don't you think?
Yeah, he did. He did. Yeah. I think that was a loss that Collingwood's had coming. I think that the weight of injuries and they were waiting to get the right opponent.
I think West Coast would have won regardless, but the moment that Mason Cox pulled out, I never thought you'd think that Mason Cox would be a big loss, but Collingwood just had no tall players really forward of the ball that were a threat. And the moment
they played a dumb game,
but Jeremy McGovern, I don't think he is worth the $1.2 million he is reputedly seeking, but he is, outside of Alex Rance, he's probably the best key defender in the game.
Well, he will be worth it if someone continued to play to him the way Collingwood played to him and just kept kicking it long.
So what about Collingwood boys? Are they vulnerable? A premiership threat?
I don't think so.
Not with the players at their disposal at the moment. I mean, the query will be if Treloar was able to get back for the finals, that'd be a stretch, I think, after the surgery. But, they've still got Elliott played in the VFL. They'd be better with him in the team. But they're carrying a few players that aren't quite – they're not finals players. We're not sure whether they're AFL players.
Yeah, there's an underbelly in their side, Caro. And it's they've done very well this year. I think expectations, if you'd said they'd be where they are now, that's well above what I thought they'd be. Bearing in mind the injuries, they're high on the injury ladder.
Certainly was. You thought the coach was lucky to get another contract.
Well, I know. Absolutely, I thought that. And I think a lot of people thought that. In fact, they thought that because they waited until the end of the year before they recontracted him. So it wasn't a clear-cut decision, but credit to them. On the weekend, though, they were exposed. The bottom end of that side, you look at some of the players that are getting a game. Crocker, for instance, came in late. Young Dacos, he's got a long way to go. He's a second year player. Braden Sire, there's a lot of players at the bottom end. Chris Main has been getting a game during this period of injuries. So there's a depth issue there they've still got. And the only real highlight for Collingwood was probably, and it's an interesting question to see what happens, was that Darcy Moore actually performed very well as a key defender. And it'll be fascinating to see what happens with his contract, please.
Absolutely, with his contract. It'll be interesting to see what happens with him this week. They play North this week. That's a finals shaping.
He'll play on Ben Brown.
Yeah, he'll play on Ben Brown. That's a finals shaping game. North will be kicking themselves over yet again losing to Sydney.
And what a game it was.
Oh, it was a tremendous game. One of the great images of the game was Alir and Magic Door playing on one another and both being influential in the contest.
Alir kicking the winning goal.
And embracing at the end of the game, and Magic kicking all those goals. I mean, you know, remember at the start of the year, didn't Brad Scott tell us that, this is the last roll of the dice for Magic, we're going to try him in defence?
Yeah.
I liked him up forward.
It's come up well.
He was fantastic. It was a gripping game, and Sydney, let's face it, were just limping along.
Well, and Josh Kennedy out of the game. We should have known better. I mean, I'm kicking myself for tipping North. I mean, don't tip against the Swans when they're backs to the wall and even at Eddie Had.
They are the Black Knights of football too, though, aren't they? Like, they're good players go out and these young guys just keep coming in and filling roles. Ronk, there's a lot of talk of the rising star and Rayner and Stevenson. Ronk has been tremendous.
What is Cam Rayner? Can Cam Rayner win the rising star?
Yes, he can. He's of course number one draft pick last year.
Yeah, I know. Sorry, I was trying to remember when he came in.
He's
been nominated this year. Of course he has.
Last week.
He's been unbelievable the last few weeks.
He was powerful.
There were shades of Dusty. The way, that was the talk when he was drafted. His body shape and his ability to kick goals and impact one-on-one. He looks every inch of one number one pick.
But I see you're holding the age ladder predictor there, Michael.
And I am holding that.
North have got now Collingwood, West Coast, Brisbane in the next 3 weeks. That's they might be in a bit of trouble, North.
Yeah, it's West Coast in Ballarat. But the way West Coast's playing, you would expect them to beat North there. Collingwood at the MCG, critically, rather than they often play together at Eddie Had. And I think North at Eddie Had, you would favour more than you would at
and Brisbane at home.
Brisbane now is a form side, so I could see them losing those three. So that problem puts them out. if they lose that.
So it's quite extraordinary.
That's why the Sydney loss was so
every team, and I know you're always banging on about this, Jake, but you are right that Richmond have been very fortunate with injuries, even though
good management too.
Yep, they have had injuries.
But they're also doing something right though as well.
We're talking about Richmond in the next segment, but okay. I was just going to say that all those other sides, you know, Collingwood, GWS, who we'll talk about again, West Coast, they've lost at Melbourne. They've all lost crucial players, haven't they? And they're not going to get them back.
I think Richmond actually gained ground on the competition while losing.
Yeah.
Because really, Nick Natanui, you sort of looked at West Coast yesterday and you went, well, if they played at the MCG, you can now imagine for the first time they could win a grand final. Watching that game yesterday.
Yep.
But then you think, can they do that without him?
Oh, and you look at Port Adelaide. Ryder. Robbie Gray may miss again. Oh, that was a sickening tackle.
Did you see that tackle?
That was
disgraceful. Awful.
Yeah, it was awful to watch.
It was just a slam. I know, you know, it wasn't quite a spear tackle, but it was a slam tackle.
Oh, I hate those slams.
And his head goes straight in the ground.
Well, the consequences for Port Adelaide were significant.
Yeah.
In that game. You lose two of your best players.
One more on West Coast, though. The way they beat Richmond, and now we've seen what they can do at the MCG, and I'm sure they'll do it again. That was comprehensive, the way they beat Richmond over in Perth. And they played a completely different style of game than anyone else has played against Richmond this year. So I would say that even without Nick Nash and with the forwards back, I think they'll be a big threat.
Right, okay, come on. We'll get it to Richmond in the next segment.
We're online all the time. Just search Age Real Footy on Facebook or Twitter.
8 seconds. Chance for Reid to get through their home. Shot on goal. It's going to go through for a minor score. And there it is. The Giants.
Well, welcome back. Before we get into this, I think I did say Ballarat, that West Coast and North are playing. Of course, that is in Tasmania. Ballarat, Tasmania.
The Bulldogs actually play in Ballarat.
Yeah, I know. I get a bit lost. Eureka. Anyway, the Tigers. Caro, you were up there for the game.
Look.
What did you make of it?
This was a fantastic win for GWS, who showed a lot of grit to hang on and win. But I think Richmond had every chance to win it and botched it. I really think that. They kicked 5 behinds in a row in the first quarter. They did it again in the last quarter. Jason Castagna missed some absolute sitters and clearly is better when he's snapping. And I think they really do, you know, it sounds ridiculous, but I really think they miss Butler. But, Jake, I think GWS without either big forward, there was a lack of predictability about them. So, I mean, Toby Green being back obviously helped. He was fantastic.
Well, they lowered their eyes a bit.
I just felt that there was a lack of predictability around their forward line. That, I mean, Patton hasn't had the most unbelievable season, let's face it. He's had moments. So I don't think that really hurt them in the end.
Well, I think Cameron would have hurt them because he would have wrapped up Rants. So I think you've got to look at the impact on that. And he is a very straight kick as well. So, what I would agree is that to have the two forwards and Lobb has been very questionable. And I think that they don't need Patton and Cameron in the same side with Lobb, and they're better with at least one of them out. And Lobb, of course, played in the ruck. But I thought Dawson Simpson was enormous. So I think that they're not going to miss Jonathan Patton going forward this year because Lobb will have to play a forward ruck role, and Dawson Simpson on that performance will stay in the side.
They're into seventh. I think the ladder predictor, we had them losing to Port Adelaide this coming week, though that'd be questionable now, I think, particularly.
Well, they beat Adelaide. They beat Adelaide over there
Before the Port result was known. But I think the Ryder injury.
That's a massive game, GWS Port, isn't it?
St Kilda, Carlton, Adelaide, Sydney, and Melbourne.
Oh, they're in.
I think they're top four.
Yeah, they'll challenge for the top four. That draw against St Kilda, was it? That could end up being an absolute fillip for them. I mean, obviously, they'd rather have won.
Were you at the game with the Giants brass?
I caught up with the Giants brass over my week in Sydney.
What was the feeling? If you don't divulge too many confidential conversations.
Well, it's
over
funny
a cocktail.
Because you know Dave Matthews is the CEO of the club and has just signed a new contract. He's going to be there for another 3 years, and you know they are clearly standing. Although they're beholden to the AFL and funded by the AFL, they do things their own way, as we know. The AFL don't always like that. I'm not sure if Tony – I think Tony Shepherd re-signed Dave and then told the AFL. I'm sure that's what happened. But and Dave's brother, who is incredibly close to Simon, is a key executive at Richmond. And, you can imagine that Dave was suitably humble about the result. Not. No, look, they were thrilled, and so they should have been. I mean, that was a big win to beat Richmond. I know Richmond haven't won on the road, but it's still a big win to beat the top team when you've had a struggling and up and down sort of season.
I don't think Richmond have got many weaknesses, but I would say this, and I'd be interested in your thoughts, Caro. I think that one thing is they're not super efficient. So if they had 64 entries in this game and they kicked, what was it, 10, 11 goals, they did botch the shots that you're talking about. But they're not a team that gets the ball, like Hawthorn of old, you get the ball in there 50 times and kick 17 goals. They're not that sort of side, I don't think.
No, well, it's why really they took a while to...
why they need Lynch.
And why they took a while to get over Sydney a couple of weeks ago, because Sydney kicked beautifully at Eddie Had Stadium and Richmond were a far better side. But at one point early in the last quarter, it was only a five-point deficit. So I agree with you. I think they have been a bit inefficient, but I still... And, you know, this question mark over playing interstate, well, they've lost to West Coast in Perth, a huge assignment. Adelaide in round two, which was always going to happen in my view, and they didn't play well that night. And Port Adelaide, who are a top four side at the moment. So I don't think
so they lost to good teams.
Yeah, exactly. So I think it's more they lost to good teams and they lost on the road.
But they don't lose to those good teams when they play
They haven't played all of them in Melbourne yet. It's interesting that they're playing St Kilda this week, because St Kilda is the one team that has really challenged them on the MCG this year, and the one team that was well in the game with 5-10 minutes to go.
And the team that 12 months ago
gave them a hiding at Etihad Stadium, where the two games went different Friday night.
They went different. They were 9-6, I think, both sides at that game. It's just incredible where the two clubs went in the intervening 12 months.
If only we had seen more of the St Kilda that we saw against Carlton and that we've been seeing over the last month earlier this season. It was like after that North Melbourne loss on Good Friday, they went into their shells and they were trying to protect games. They showed no flair whatsoever. Their confidence was shot, and somehow they've got it back again, Gleeson. They're playing some good footy, St Kilda. I know it was Carlton, but they've had some good wins in the last few weeks.
Yeah, I think the important thing is I know it was Carlton. I mean, really, you're not going to take a lot just yet.
Well,
they take it up to Richmond and maybe not win, but play the same way and be aggressive and fast, then, you'll take something.
Well, one thing it does, Gleese, is it removes discussion about Alan Richardson, I think, at the end of the season. I don't see that being his position being in jeopardy
now. That's not a conversation.
He's contracted, so that's done. I think the other thing is, let's not forget, though, it all turned in one quarter against the Gold Coast Suns. They were goals down against the Gold Coast Suns, which seems incredible now, but that was the catalyst for this little mini revival by St Kilda. So it's amazing what, even they beat the Suns by what, a couple of points in the last minute, basically?
And that was at the period where the Suns were basically playing three quarters of footy and couldn't run in a last quarter. So, if they had a basic level of fitness,
how are they going to get any players? I mean, every manager you talk to, and you guys talk to player managers more than me, every player seems to be saying this, I'll go anywhere but the Gold Coast. Is that being a bit unfair?
It's a
little bit unfair.
Well, someone's going to have to go.
But I don't think, Carol, I don't think this is a new thing.
No.
I think this has been a problem all along.
And that was why the rationale of, we'll give up pick two for Weller, who's not worth pick two, and was still, to my mind, not the right decision, because they could have got him for free at the end of this year. But they needed to show, hey, people do want to come here, not just tourists.
That's why the Lynch thing. I mean, let's not forget also, Caro, that not only do they struggle to get players to go there, they have an issue of paying players to stay well above what they would pay at other clubs. Now, this has been, Tom Lynch, he's a fantastic player. He's close to worth what he's going to get, but he's already on close to $1 million. If he was playing at, say, Hawthorn now, I don't think he would have been paid at that level. There's a number of players like that club who've been paid because of the go-home factor with players like, well, not go-home, the leave factor, like O'Meara and obviously Prestia and all the others who've left.
While we're being negative, can I just give one more
as
whack?
As opposed to other times.
Can we give one more whack to the AFL for scheduling Carlton four times on Friday nights this year?
Yep.
The ratings for Friday night were appalling. And I don't care what you say about, oh, we should have a floating fixture and all this. No, we shouldn't. Just be a bit more sensible when you do the fixture. Gillon McLachlan said last October that they were vulnerable on Carlton. I don't buy all these Anzac days and Anzac Eves and it's a way you've got to configure it. They need to be smarter about the way they do the fixture.
No, it's an absolute shocker. And there's no getting around it. And it doesn't do Carlton any good. I think this is the other thing, is that you're giving something to Carlton.
It was an assumption that that was a fillip for Carlton and the new administration.
Yeah, but it actually embarrasses Carlton.
Yeah.
Carlton come out of it looking worse, not better. It's better to hide.
Showcase how bad they are.
Well, you actually means your bad performances. I think it has a negative bounce because everyone sees them on prime time with greater interest.
Well, Jake, just between us, it was a Friday night shocker, but that is time now for Just Between Us.
Just Between Us.
Welcome to another edition of Just Between Us. Yet again, Sam Globetrotter McClure has shirked his duties, but we've got a more than adequate and some would say superior replacement, a very sleep-deprived following a month of World Cup action, Anthony Colangelo. Anthony, welcome.
Hello, Dan. It's been hard, but hopefully Sam's back from the land of the long white cloud next week and he'll be refreshed.
Anthony, what did you make of Italy's performance at the World... Oh.
Yeah, let's not go there, mate.
Too soon. Anthony... Just between us, the 18 or most of the 18 AFL coaches and Gillon McLachlan, they had a dinner a few weeks ago at Gill's house.
They did.
Can't quite remember what. I think chicken was on the menu. I think Gill might have put that outside his house.
Okay.
If it wasn't chicken, it tasted like chicken. Just between us, a bit of chatter around the table about draft age. And it seems that coaches are a little bit frustrated. And they understand it, but a little frustrated that when players come into the system, they're just not quite ready. And there's perhaps a bit of a push for more mature age players to be taken. We've seen the success of Tim Kelly. But now Ross Lyon, of course, the Fremantle coach, was there, as was Mark Brayshaw, who's the CEO of the AFL Coaches Association. Mark's son, Andy, of course, plays for the Fremantle Dockers.
Okay.
And Ross actually cited Andy as an example of kids that obviously very good young player, but just it takes them a while to learn how to go about it. And seems he actually dropped Andy's name in the midst of a conversation where his father was also sitting around the table. But no bad blood or anything like that.
Personal experience involved in putting the point across is what you're saying, Dan.
Exactly right.
Can never hurt sometimes.
No, I wouldn't have thought so.
Just to personalise things.
Indeed. Nice touch.
Now, Collingwood are flying. We know that despite the loss on the weekend and not many people thought they'd be in this position, but the Pies, like probably a lot of clubs, have already got a bit of an eye on next year. And if you remember, one of their players early in the year, Cal Kirby, had some issues with his heart, with an elevated heart rate, and he's on an indefinite break from football while he tries to get that back. We're hearing that he is out of contract at the end of the year and that Cale's papers may have already been stamped, and he will not be getting a new contract at the Pies. He hasn't been around training that much lately. He's trying to get himself right, but the Pies are already looking at shaping their list for the next season. He's played one game, Kirby, in that famous round 23 match last year when they beat the D's and kept them out of the finals. But I think one to watch there for next year already.
Bit of a shame for Cal Kirby. He's... a cult figure down at the Pies. I think he just about topped the VFL goal kicking last year.
He was third in the VFL goal kicking with 43 goals in 2017. That's so
certainly a bit of talent.
Yeah.
He's a cousin of Richmond's Derek Egmalese-Smith, who's on their rookie list.
There you go. Dan Cherney with all the family connections.
I've been giving the wind up here. Just between us, Anthony, the Melbourne political situation interesting with Gaddy Pert taking over the CEO role from Peter Jackson in a move that was wasn't met entirely with approval.
A few eyebrows are raised.
A few eyebrows are raised, I think it's fair to say. Just between us, just keep an eye out for the Melbourne board at the end of the year because I believe there'll be a few changes coming.
Really?
A couple of board members stepping aside.
We'll keep an eye on that, Dan.
I think you should. Anthony, it's been fantastic. Hopefully Sam doesn't come back.
Thanks, Dan.
Just between us.
Now Brayshaw, Oliver still going from 50 metres. He spears a worm-burning pass. Petrarca finishes it off, and there is the play of the day.
Sandy Roberts described it as the play of the day. I also heard Jonathan Brown describe Max Gawn's third quarter as the best quarter of tap ruck work he has ever seen from anyone. Now, I don't know how much tap work Jonathan Brown actually analyses and looks at.
He exaggerates, Jonathan Brown. I mean, I love him, but he exaggerates as a caller. I agree with all the calls for Max Gawn should be the Brownlow favourite. And, you know, people say, oh, the umpires don't see the game the way we do. And, you know, they only give it to the volume players and the midfielders. But, gee, he's been so
influential.
Yeah. I reckon he'll be right up there come rounds 2021.
I think he will.
Well, we're due. We're due for a ruckman to win the Brownlow. And I think it would be a great thing if it happened.
His whole body shape has sort of changed, hasn't it? He's obviously lost weight.
We can't embrace that, but
not the beard though.
No, he's been unbelievable. Well, but now
he was important. But I actually also thought Brayshaw's involvements in that third quarter were incredible. I thought that those first, and it was partly because of Gawn, but
it was a double act, wasn't it? It was amazing
when they, you know, Bulldogs were coming, and it just broke the game open, and they were just he broke into space, and it was the sort of performance he's been building towards, and I thought it was the best that I'd seen him, and I thought it was particularly with Viney out. I think that toe injury, then another foot injury, another stress injury for Viney is a real worry for the Demons.
It's a real concern with the leadership in the team, Gleese. But I think Melbourne are better placed. To cover for Viney now than they were earlier in the season when he was out. I think that Brayshaw's
development. There were still queries over Brayshaw at that point.
That's right.
It's been an unbelievable effort getting back to where he is, both with all the different issues he's had, but mainly the concussion.
Yeah, I think it's his 50th game this week. It's been a long time coming.
It's fantastic, and he's such a good kid, and he's a good player, and I agree with you. I think they've got more depth now than they did at the start of the year. But I just want to briefly touch on the Bulldogs, who really showed something against Geelong. They had a couple of brilliant weeks and they've just petered off again.
I think realistically, Caro, this is what we're going to see. They, you know, privately will say that they know where they're at. I mean, they're fielding consistently teams that are the youngest in the competition, which is amazing after a premiership, but that's what's happened for various reasons. They're younger than the Brisbane Lions, younger than the Gold Coast Suns most weeks. So they have gone into a semi-rebuild after winning a premiership.
Actually,
and so there's an inconsistency of result.
And I liked the form, albeit in a losing team. I thought the trend as well. I thought Shacky was good.
Yep.
I thought Shacky presented well, marks well. You know, he did the things that we know are his strengths, rather than dwelling on his weaknesses. And he was. I thought there are signs there that he can still make it as a player.
So that's one former premiership team. Premiership coach Chris Scott. Says that Geelong is still a premiership chance. Is he kidding himself?
No, and we'll all be talking about them as a premiership threat in 3 weeks' time or something when they've played the string of home games. And again, they'll play four at Kenyon Park.
Four,
yeah.
And then they'll start whinging about the fact they can't play finals there.
But they'll go in on a high and there'll be this great confidence. But I think it becomes a bloated expectation based on the fact that it gives an inflated position. It disguises their true position, comes back again come finals time.
I don't know. I don't see them.
Do you think they'll beat Melbourne?
No, I don't.
A massive game for Geelong, because if they don't win that game, then they'll be, 9-8? And the finals does become precarious. If they win it, they've got another three after that at Kenyon Park.
Yeah, they do have a good run home.
They do have a good run home. They've played a lot of the better sides. They have to play Richmond, of course, though. At the MCG, so yeah, it's they've got a tough road. It'd be difficult for them to make the four now, but I still think they'll make the finals.
Melbourne at home, they should win. I mean, their form at home, they should win.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I'm going to tip Melbourne. I think that I don't think they have any chance to win a flag this year. And but what I do think is that their young players have been pretty good and. The rebuild is, you know, the rebuild by stealth, as you would call it, Jake, is actually going pretty well for the Cats.
Well, I think they also.
I don't think they've done it. I think they've renovated. I don't think they've done a rebuild. And I made the point, and you know, talking to some people behind the scenes, Geelong Football Club have not drafted a star 18-year-old type player like a Rainer, of course, was pick one, but even Charlie Curnow, a local kid, they haven't drafted someone like that since either Joel Selwood or Harry Taylor. That's 2006, 2007. They've got Kelly in. They've done some fantastic recruiting with mature players. But that young talent, I don't see there in the way it's at other clubs.
Well, you give away a couple of picks for Paddy Dangerfield. I think they brought in a decent start at that with an early pick. It cost them two early picks.
But it's one player, though.
Very good one.
Exceptional.
I know your point's valid on the depth of that. They have taken a more...
They're not the team that they were, and they've gone heavily into trading and mature players. And it means you need to get results now.
They also ran into Adelaide that played as well as they have pretty much for the year.
Yep.
I still think it's come too late for Adelaide. What are they sitting on now is 8 wins. I can't see them getting... They'd have basically
the Crows.
Got to win. Yeah, they've got to win
everything.
Oh,
they're no chance.
Adelaide will reflect on this year, Caro, as being so disappointing, won't they, with the opportunity they had.
Yep. Yeah,
with
they
the
will.
The talent they've got and all the advantages they've got. But they could have really done something this year and they've just squandered it.
I think symbolically keeping Rory Sloane's been fantastic for them, and you just hope that the... Five years? Clearly, it was a crazy offer, but I think in terms of brand, losing him was going to be so damaging that they've done the right thing. I really do, and they never normally do this. They've not reverted to type. They've gone against what they normally do. That premiership, that grand final loss has...
Scarred.
Battled with their psyche, something shocking.
Much more than the Richmond theme song.
we spoke about Brisbane, but glossed over Hawthorn, who came out of that game. That's also a final shaping result for them. That was one of the more disappointing results. Given down in Tassie, they just win routinely down there. What did you make of it, Jake, or Carrot?
Hawthorn looked slow, didn't they, Jake? Well, they always do when they lose.
Yeah, they always do when they lose, but they didn't get the ball. I mean, the fundamental thing is they got belted.
Well,
Tom Mitchell, you know, I think the stat is something like that he's got over 40 possessions nine times this year, Caro, and they've won two of those games.
Oh, no, I think it's nine times at Hawthorn.
Nine times at Hawthorn. And they've won only two of those games that he's got over 40. So too much being left to too few. I just wonder, you mentioned Sloan. Would it be stretching things to say that the Cyril retirement might have just flattened a few people?
Well, not if you listen to the coach. He said that we were surprised he even came back this year. I don't think it was as harmonious as, you know, it was a wonderful the way the football world farewelled Cyril Rioli. But, I think there were moments when it wasn't that harmonious and there was a level of frustration there for a while. So maybe there's a bit in that, Jake, but I'm just... amazed that they lost to Brisbane, and I know that Brisbane have been playing well.
What about the coach? I mean, Chris Fagan, is there anyone in the competition who had ever been knowledgeable? Two from two against the Hawks, against Alistair Clarkson. I know they're old friends, but I think he'll very much enjoy, knowing Chris, he'll very much enjoy to have that 2-0 record this year against Clarko. They didn't get the ball. They were belted in contested ball, and they didn't defend well.
They were ferocious around the ball, Brisbane, and Hawthorn couldn't match it. And I thought the Arats would run. I think, you know, you were looking for an Isaac Smith to open the game up for them, and it wasn't happening. Sicily's good behind the ball, but Brisbane worked it well.
He can be a very unpleasant player, though, can't he?
He would be a player that if you played against, you'd end up in a...
Rips off the tape after the game and just chucks it on the ground for some poor lackey to have to pick up. You sort of go, you're not Buddy Franklin. You know, don't leave your tape on the ground for some poor trainer to have to pick up. No, I find that annoying, that sort of stuff.
Need to show them the image of the World Cup, the Japanese World Cup team that left the change rooms in pristine condition.
Or like Trent Cotchin always picks up all the empty drink bottles after the Richmond games.
The Hawks have got Carlton this week, so, you know.
Lucky them.
Lucky us to have to watch it.
Not on Friday night, though.
No. If there's a team that you want to rebound against, it's probably the Blues, which is not said with any great relish. But what can the Blues still take out of the rest of the year, Jake?
Well, all they can take out of it is development of players. So you start looking, they're so ordinary that you look at moments like Harry Mackay, you know, you've written about at length, Gleese, you know, running around someone and just looking mobile, kicking a goal. Just the little moments involving their players, that's all they've got to play for. There's nothing else. They're going to finish bottom unless, you know, they're going
to
finish last.
They need to choose a good footy manager, a new head of football, and that role is pivotal to me.
You mentioned Graham Allen. You think Gubby? You wrote at length about
well,
Gubby.
Well, I've said it's impossible not to draw the link between him and Stephen Silvani and their friendship. I mean, the only thing is they have a coffee every day anyway, so why does he need to go and work there? I don't think in the end that's what they'll do. I think Chris Judd and Kane Liddell, who are choosing the new head of football, I think that it'll be their decision. And I don't think it will be Graham Allen, but I do think Graham Allen will be back in footy somewhere.
He's already back in footy, Cara.
But I know Jake, and you broke that story, and he didn't want you to break that story, I'm told.
Okay.
I think he would have rather no one had written that story. But no, I think he'll be back in a full-time role next year. That would be my prediction, or certainly more meaningful than the one he's playing now.
Coming up, quick questions.
Get access to every episode as it drops. Hit subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Franklin to line up. It's his trademark 50. Trademark 50. Goal 900 for Buddy Franklin.
Welcome back. Straight into quick questions. Jake, is Buddy Franklin the best forward of the last 25 years?
No, Gleese. Great as he is. Best player of the last decade, but Wayne Carey fits into that area. Wayne Carey won more games for his club than any player I have seen.
That's Karen? Fair enough. Oh, he's the best player to watch, I reckon, I've ever seen. I used to think James Hird was the best player I'd ever seen, just in terms of just lyrical brilliance. But he is so exciting, Lance Franklin. I reckon I'm giving him my best.
Ahead of Wayne?
Yeah, and look, he was unbelievable too. Such different players though, weren't they, Jake?
Yeah, I just think Wayne lifted the team more.
He played further up the ground.
Yeah, well that's certainly true. That's certainly true. He lifted the team. Buddy's more athletic. I'm giving it to Lance Franklin.
Yeah, I'd go for Carey. He took more marks, more pack marks. If it's 25 years, I think I'd probably include Plugger in that.
The high mark is the one sort of flaw in Buddy's game, that's I right. guess, isn't it? But no, I just think he's unbelievable.
Agreed.
Wayne Carey never kicked goals like Lance did.
Moving on our quick questions, it's time to talk about Dusty. Is Dusty Martin having a poor season?
No, he's not having a poor season. By what happened last year, he's having a poor season. But if that's the best season any player has any had, as Lee Matthews said, then I think he's having a fair season. I thought he did a couple of things against the Giants that were quite cavalier, and I think they cost Richmond. And yet, you know, most of the
kicked a brilliant goal though.
Yeah, and yet he does so many brilliant things. I think he's having a good, not a great season.
I think if he hadn't had the year he had last year, he'd be having a very good season. Because of the year he had last year, he's having less of a season. Yeah. It's the standards he set were so extraordinary.
With Dylan Scheel ruling out a move to Victoria, if the Blues were ever looking at trading pick one, and I don't think they ever would have. Dylan
Scheel. No, they wouldn't have.
What should they do with pick one, Jake?
Keep it at this stage, unless an extraordinary offer comes along. Keep the pick.
And go for Walsh.
And go for a midfielder, probably. We'll go for the best player. And, you know, I just keep open-minded. Don't make up your mind now, Caro, about who you're going to pick. Sam Walsh from Geelong, yep.
I would go for Sam Walsh. He's a Victorian boy. I'd be a bit spooked by Loquacious. I mean, just because they've lost Gibbs. I reckon I would go for, Sam Walsh would be my choice.
Caro, what did you think of Angus Brayshaw's low five with Razor Ray?
It was fine. It was just a bit of fun. And I think Razor Ray enjoyed it as much as Angus did.
Oh, he loved his bit of screen time, didn't he?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that some of the umpire contact thing.
The umpires didn't like it when they were being, for some of it, you know, that sort of intentional contact they're talking about.
No, of course
not. Because Ray made the intentional contact.
Who was the player who got a fine for the slapping on the bum? Willie Rioli. I thought that was a bit tough too. No, I thought it was good. I liked it.
Jake?
Yep.
Happy with it?
Happy with it.
Okay, well, that's all we have time for this week. A big thank you to you both, Caro and Jake, for joining us this week.
Thanks, Michael.
And thanks to Channel 7 and Fox Footy for the audio used in this episode. Thanks to everyone also who has emailed through their feedback. You too can get in touch via email at realfootypod@fairfaxmedia.com.au. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next week.